Welcome to Truth Culture Life. I'm your host, Royce Hood, and this is a really, really special episode. I don't even know for sure if I'm going to be able to get this to the station in time. I'm out in Gower, Missouri. I have been here since Thursday. I'll be here until sometime next week. The sisters have given me permission, by the grace of God, to do a very, very special documentary on the life and legacy of Sister Wilhelmina. As many of you by now have heard, her body was recently discovered after she has been deceased for 4 years. Her body was discovered to be completely intact. Her body was discovered to be intact. Wow. As soon as the news of this discovery broke, it instantly went viral. When I came here about a week and a half ago, there was only around, 50 people, maybe coming and going. And my wife and my children were able to venerate Sister Wilhelmina and able to really spend some intimate time here with the sisters and here on the grounds. Well, just a matter of days later, they're expecting as many as 10,000 people from around the country this weekend. They have, just this morning, I've been very fortunate to be sleeping on the grounds here in a guest area, separate from where the Abbey is, but it's just so cool to be on the grounds. This morning, before the gates even really were officially open, there was hundreds of people here. There's probably 500 or 1,000 people here now, and we're expecting, again, thousands upon thousands. Yesterday, I met a couple that had driven all the way from Washington State. I've met a young woman just a few minutes ago who does live in Missouri now, but she's from Kenya. And I was asking her, what was this like for you? And she said, well, when I heard, I had no idea really who she was. And I just, I needed this. I needed this grace. I needed something. And she goes to church all the time. She's a very holy woman. And she felt like this was just such a boost. And so she went and venerated Sister Wilhelmina. And she said when she actually saw a picture, she didn't even realize Sister Wilhelmina was black until she saw a picture of her. She heard the news that she was an incorruptible in Missouri first. And then when she saw the picture, she was like, wow, God is colorblind, but wow, this is such an important moment for me and for my and for this country and for this world that God is giving us this grace. And so it's incredible. I met another elderly couple from Seattle that had driven days to get here. The husband was in a walker, and they drove days to come. This world, the enemy in particular, wants to divide us. The enemy wants us to be divided, and they want us to fight. They want us to be focused on the things that don't matter. The devil wants us to focus on this world. But instead of doing that, God every now and then gives us these little graces where we're able to focus on the Spirit. We're able to focus on the miracles and the graces in our lives. Finding an incorruptible, what Mother Abbess joked, she said, there wasn't exactly a Google result when, if you search for what do you do when you find an incorruptible. There wasn't a result. What do you do? In the background, you may hear some subtle music. That is the sisters' music, Advent at Ephesus, which was originally released by De Montfort Music. That music has been playing here around the clock. In addition to that, the pilgrims can come and they can hear the sisters as they participate in their daily devotions and vespers and rosary and mass. It's just unbelievable. But what do you do when you find an incorruptible? That is a miracle, right? And that's what we're trying to figure out. I think, there's questions and, is this a miracle? What is this? That's not the miracle I'm focusing on. The miracle I'm focusing on is Sister Wilhelmina, her life, her legacy. 70 years old when she decides to create a new order for sisters, to observe the traditions of the church, to pray for priests. The miracle that I'm witnessing right now are people from all walks of life coming, they're pilgrims coming from around the country to see with their own eyes this beautiful moment that is once in a lifetime. There are incorruptibles around the world that you can go and see. They're behind glass, they're behind rope. Sister Wilhelmina's body has been laying in state since they discovered her. Pilgrims are coming and they're very respectfully venerating and kneeling and paying their respects and praying and thanking God for the grace that they're experiencing. And I must tell you, things here are rapidly changing, and they have to. The sisters, their cloister deserves respect. It deserves privacy. Their way of life deserves respect and support and privacy. And so I'm asking everybody listening to this, if you haven't come already, you may not be able to come in the same fashion that people have been coming. There's going to be some changes here. I know that firsthand because of all the people and out of respect for Sister Wilhelmina as well, honoring her and honoring her life and her body as well. So look, wow. I cannot share all the details that I have witnessed on this program. I have been given rights to do a documentary, which I will be working on probably full time for the next couple of months, however long it takes. This is such an important moment. This is such an important opportunity. When I came the first time and I saw Sister Wilhelmina, I felt this overwhelming sense of that I would somehow be involved in helping to share her story. I had no idea at the time that Sister Wilhelmina had a particular devotion to praying for parents and moms who had miscarried babies and for praying for the Holy Innocents. I had no idea. My wife and I have lost three children. The first child that we lost, Fulton, every single night, Elise would play Advent at Ephesus and other beautiful music by sisters. She wanted Fulton, who we knew was not going to survive outside of the womb, she wanted him, in her own words, to recognize the sound of heaven. When I recounted that story to the sisters, I couldn't help but to be choked up. I get choked up now thinking about it, what my wife must have gone through and that challenge, that pain, that cross. But the peace. We had no idea at that time that several years later, I would be in Gower on site at the Abbey documenting as much as I possibly could with the rinky-dinky tools that I have. A sister yesterday, we were trying to fix the sound system and I was helping and I said, "Sister, you guys are famous. Everybody knows this music." And she said, "Really? I don't know about these things. I'm just a simple nun. I'm just a simple sister," is what she said. A simple sister. When I asked permission to do this, I have crews that I've worked with on different film projects that are scattered around the country. I had no idea if anybody would be available to come help. It's Memorial Day weekend. They said, "Come on over. Can you come now?" And I told my wife, I said, I think I need to go. And she said, "You need to go. This is so important." So I ran to Best Buy, scrounged together whatever I could in terms of just basic gear. Not prepared. I mean, typically, if you're going to be doing a film project, you know, we get a film crew. I've worked with all sorts of professionals in these capacities before. When I do my music, I write my music, but I go to a professional studio and I bring in professional musicians to help just enhance. But these are just simple sisters. And when we trust the Holy Spirit action plan, God provides. So I'm rambling a bit, but I just have to tell you, over time, I will tell you more details, intimate details, when the sisters give me permission. Much of what I have captured is for them. Everything I capture is theirs. I've told them I am not here for me. I'm not here for anything other than sharing Sister Wilhelmina's story for the benefit of these beautiful, beautiful sisters and for their ministry. The Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, are simple sisters. And so I have to just say, on the way over here, the guy that I wanted to use to do drone footage of the crowds, "I'm sorry, I'm not available." And I said, as I was driving, I prayed, I said, "Lord, if it's your will, we will have a drone. We will have some coverage." As soon as I arrived, the president of Benedictine University happens to be here. And he says, "Well, we've got a drone." I could send my guy over tomorrow. Holy Spirit action plan. If my wife gives me permission, I think at some point I will write a book. I have to check with her because these projects of mine take a lot of time. And by the way, she's at home with six children. So if you're listening to this, please keep her in your prayers. Holy Spirit action plan. You need a drone. If it's God's will, you'll get a drone. And we got a drone. Not only did we get one drone Friday, I've got another very, very professional film company that reached out and said, listen, we want to come help. We want to donate our time. We do 70 movies a year, but we want to come donate our time to this cause. And we're going to bring a drone if you need it. And we're going to help you get whatever footage you need with our professional gear, Hollywood quality gear. I'm using a GoPro. I'm using a HD camcorder. I'm using my iPad, my iPhone. I'm using a little Panasonic. I've got a number of little devices that, again, I scrape together. And they do great for my studio work. And they're going to do great for this because, again, these are simple sisters. So without further ado, again, you're listening to a very, very unusual special episode of Truth Culture Life. I'm going to bring in some clips of Father Orsi, as well as a special guest from EWTN News who I met out here a week or so ago. And thank you so much for listening to Truth Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. Please follow me on YouTube.com/@Royce Hood. Again, that's YouTube.com/Royce Hood. Just look for me, follow, subscribe to that channel. I'll be releasing some footage on there when the sisters give me permission to do so. Also, look for me on Facebook. Look for Royce Hood on there and follow our podcast, Truth Culture Life, POD, at Facebook. Thank you again for listening to Truth Culture Life.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Here are some of our listeners' favorite programs on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Mother Angelica.
I enjoy listening to Al Cressa.
I listen to Women of Grace, Call of Communion, Catholic Answers.
Praying the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
I like the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
I enjoy the program Catholic Answers Live.
I like Being Catholic with Bob and Lynn Johnston, the best.
Bob, you can't do that. You're the host.
Yeah, but that's why I like it, because I always agree with Bob.
Of course.
All right. Then I like Word on Fire, The Journey Home, and EWTN Open Line.
And I like Take Two.
Help to continue the excellent programming on this station by donating online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or sending a donation to 108 Boykins Place in Normal. This radio station is supported solely by the generosity of its listeners.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy and Ann from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Here are some of our listeners' favorite programs on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Mother Angelica.
I enjoy listening to Al Cresta.
I listen to Women of Grace, Call of Communion, Catholic Answers.
Praying the Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
I like the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
I enjoy the program Catholic Answers Live.
I like Being Catholic with Bob and Lynn Johnston the best.
Bob, you can't do that. You're the host.
Yeah, but that's why I like it, because I always agree with Bob.
Of course.
All right. Then I like Word on Fire, The Journey Home, and EWTN Open Line.
And I like Take Two.
Help to continue the excellent programming on this station by donating online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or sending a donation to 108 Boykins Place in Normal. This radio station is supported solely by the generosity of its listeners.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy and Ann from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and we are having all sorts of funny technical issues today. I am attempting to record this production from Gower, Missouri, which is in the middle of literally nowhere. And we're joined by a really, really special guest. We'll have Father Orsi on in a second, and we'll also talk to Sierra. But for right now, I want to introduce Kelsey Wicks with EWTN News. Kelsey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. And thank you for asking.
Yeah, look, you and I really don't go very far back at all. Like, we literally just have known each other for about a week, I guess.
We met last week in Gower, Missouri, of all places.
That's right. Yeah. And okay. And Gower, Missouri, people listening may very well be aware of what Gower, Missouri is all about, but we met at a little abbey. And let me just ask this question to you. What brought you to Gower, Missouri?
Well, I've been receiving text messages for the past couple of days from numerous sources saying there's this miracle in Missouri. You need to check it out. Can EWTN News do a story? We think it might have worldwide implications. And so I hopped a plane on Saturday to Missouri and rented a car, drove up to the Abbey of Ephesus and visited the Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, to see precisely what was happening. And what we found there was pretty amazing. I don't know if you've introduced people yet to what happened, but the remains of a sister dead for 4 years, 95 years when she died, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, were found apparently incorrupt.
Yeah. No, our listeners on Truth Culture Life have not been formally introduced to this story yet, apart from social media. And if you're listening, that is absolutely right. And that is the same reason why I drove to Gower with my wife and six children, which was a very interesting pilgrimage with the six kids in the car. But yeah, Sister Wilhelmina died 4 years ago And the sisters discovered that her body, I mean, she just looks like she's sleeping. It's one of the most remarkable things I have ever experienced in my life, to be that close, to actually be able to venerate her, to be able to touch her body. I mean, it's right there. Kelsey, what was your reaction? I mean, hearing the story, seeing the social media posts, and then actually coming out and witnessing it with your own two eyes. I mean, what were you thinking coming in, and then did that change once you got here?
I mean, I was reserving judgment, as all journalists do, before coming in. And just, you know, I do think that there's a caution that the church has, which is beautiful, about, you know, the promotion of certain devotions. And so we let that process play out. But I love that there's also this beautiful moment where the faithful can anticipate what may be something of the miraculous, and what may be something of a sign of God's providence in the world. And so I came just to see what was happening. And as I walked into the chapel and saw her body there, you know, and the flowers next to her body decaying, the faithful had brought them without water, 1 day old, 2 days old, they were starting to fade. And here's her body, you know, preserved in this really phenomenal state of undecay. And so, you know, there was no smell. You know, I was reminded of that Bible verse, when, Jesus tells them to roll away the stone, and Martha says, you know, Lord, by now he'll stinketh, you know, and there was no smell of decay. There was no sense of the fact that she'd been 4 years buried without embalming in the ground. I mean, truly remarkable. You could even see the brand name of the socks that she was wearing, and they were in such pristine condition.
Yeah, I have been speaking with people, and I think that's great. I mean, obviously, you know, all of us, we have to approach things like this sort of like, okay, what is it? What is it that we're about to experience? What are we about to see? Talking to some of the people out here on site, it's really interesting, just the background. I mean, there are people that are coming that aren't necessarily even practicing Catholics. I'd say a majority of the people here are faithful and are practicing, but I've talked to a few that aren't, and it's interesting. They're like, yeah, we just wanted to see what this is all about. And in the little town of Gower, they're not used to having this sort of volume of traffic. And so there's like billboards and signs saying like, hey, we have to manage, you know, manage the crowds accordingly. And a lot of these people are coming. They may not come back. And some of the people and I were laughing. We're like, yeah, actually, you don't know Catholics very well. People are going to probably start buying property around town just to be close to this. But, you know,
Royce, I have to interject here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a friend in St. Joseph, Missouri, 10 minutes away, who I stayed with, him and his wife. And I was speaking to him, and he's a bit of a skeptic, not a Catholic. And he said, you know, I would believe that New York, somebody in New York or Las Vegas would have the ability to fake people out and to really contrive a controversy. But Gower, Missouri, like, there's no guile in these people, you know? I mean, and I think that was my experience with the sisters too, you know, the abbess describing her excitement, you know, when she said, I saw a foot. Oh my gosh, I saw a foot intact. And then, you know, the sisters, she yelled it to the sisters, and the sisters started cheering. It's this beautiful moment of religious life where, you know, the Catholics who have a tradition of incorrupt bodies, you know, and I run a series of international news agencies, and this story was number one throughout all of the news agencies in the US and internationally, except for in Italy, where it was number two. And I said, that's got to be because they have an incorrupt body at every other church in Italy, you know, Padre Pio, Carlo. You go to the next church down and there's somebody whose, you know, hand is preserved or full body. So it's really interesting that it's happening in Gower, Missouri. I think there's something really remarkable and humble and a beautiful testament to the fact that God can do anything anywhere.
Amen to that. You know, that's so beautiful to hear that. And you're right. I've been blessed to see and to visit other incorruptibles and, you know, people that have actually been declared saints. And Sister Wilhelmina has not been declared a saint yet. My understanding is that 5 years after she's gone is when that cause for sainthood can officially be opened. Whether or not that happens, we'll find out, because that's a formal process. But what we're witnessing right now is, in my opinion, just this glimmer of light in the darkness. Like, there's so much negative, divisive, really just frankly disgusting news in the world, right? I mean, you deal with that every day, and you're in the line of work that you're involved with. And all of a sudden, you get this little old nun who was 70 years old when she started this order, who is like, wow, like God's giving us this grace. And I can't wait to hear Father's feedback on that. We're going to ask him some theological questions in a few minutes when we bring him back in about, you know, incorruptibles and what that means. But Kelsey, what else are you hearing? I mean, do you think this story is going to be like so much else in the news cycle where it fades away? Or is this story going to keep going?
Oh, I think this story is going to keep going, Royce. You know, at the end of the day, it being a groundbreaking story, Newsweek, New York Post, Fox, picking this story up. Everybody is interested in the question. Everybody is interested in what's happening with the world, with God intervening in the world. It's causing even people who aren't Catholic to ask questions. And it's causing people who have, you know, the seed of faith to make journeys. I know of one young mother who has three children and terminal cancer. And she visited the monastery in hopes of that miracle that could be possibly used in Sister Wilhelmina's canonization. So I think what we're going to see is a continued breadth of stories. And of course, you know, people are always interested in good news at the end of the day for longer periods of time than they are in the bad and the sort of cycle that washes over you and depresses you. And that's what everyone who I interviewed on the scene, including yourself, said. You know, this is evidence of God's action in the world. This is testimony to the future resurrection, and it's giving them hope and it's giving them breath, and it's causing now thousands of people to descend upon this monastery and just give thanks to God.
Amen. Amen. So beautifully said. I mean, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. And I will say, the more I dig, the more I am able to discover about Sister Wilhelmina's life and her legacy. I mean, this woman grew up, you know, during segregation. She has ancestors that were slaves. She was an ardent supporter of just her community and her faith and her family, and then but of priests in particular. And I think it's really cool that at this abbey, the sisters here devote so much time, so much of their time to praying for priests and praying for the priesthood. Mm-hmm. Kelsey, when you were out here, were you able to talk to some of the sisters?
I was, yes.
And I mean, what did they strike you any differently than, I mean, in your line of work? I'm sure you've met sisters from all sorts of different religious orders. Was there anything unique or special about this group of women that set them apart from the others that you've encountered?
Well, I spent 9 years in a convent discerning with the National Dominican. So
I did not know that. Wow.
I would say that they're a beautiful representation of religious life. And I think that's perhaps the true story behind here, right? Sister Wilhelmina founded an order that she thought would be highly observant, right? So what are the hallmarks of religious observance? Faithfulness to prayer, faithfulness to silence, observance of the enclosure, the wearing of the religious habit, right? Her habit is miraculously preserved, not just her body. What is that a testament to? It's a testament to the fact that she was a faithful bride of Christ. I mean, it's a testament to the beauty of religious life. And her story is so fascinating. At age 9, at her first Holy Communion,
Amen.
Jesus appeared to her, she says in her biography, and actually invited her to be his. And age 13, she wrote a letter to the Oblate Sisters of Providence saying, I'm just about to graduate grade school. What do I need to bring to come and enter the convent now? And so the Mother Superior said, wait, let's wait for a little bit. She graduated valedictorian at age 17, entered the convent, and lived 75 years under religious vows. Royce, that is miraculous.
That is miraculous.
She lived faithfully the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience for 75 years.
No.
And the reason she took that leap at age 70 to found this Benedictine monastery, which is full of vocations, youthful, faithful young women discerning the Lord's call, lifting up the world in prayer, praying for priests. The reason she took that leap was she wanted that greater faithfulness in religious life. Her community had turned away from the habit. She made a proposal in the last general chapter she was a part of, asking for a return to the habit, religious observance, poverty, permissions, silence, everything that religious observance is known for. I mean, what a beautiful testimony that that sign of religious life was also preserved, and that this community exists. You know, I thought one of the most crazy things about the trip was, you know, the sisters are just carrying on with the orarium, the schedule of prayer, moment after moment, as all these people are shuffling in and out of the chapel. I mean, it's a beautiful look at the legacy that she gave the community she founded.
That was such a great explanation, and, you know, learning. I mean, those are some things that I did not know about her. The fact that she was a young girl when she started discerning this and deciding, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I can tell you this, Kelsey, from the time that you and I met, when we met, there was, I don't know, 30, 40 people here. Maybe a little bit more. You know, there are people probably, I'm sure 100 came in and went. There was literally a line out the gate. There are porta potties set up now that somebody from the community brought in. There are parking volunteers. There are people bringing water. There are people bringing fruit. There are chairs everywhere. There are, you should see it. It's unbelievable. And just right now, I'm set up on a table outside of the Abbey, and I'm watching this line of cars trickle in, and I'm watching people in wheelchairs, people in walkers. I'm watching young kids with smiles on their face running and jumping and having fun. And like, they don't even know what they're here for. I'm sure some of these kids, but the like, I wish you could see it. Like, you almost need to just come on a plane and get back here. Any chance you can do that?
Memorial Day weekend just probably wouldn't be the same. That's for sure. I mean, it's a beautiful thing when good news travels fast, and I'm sure it's exciting to witness all of that.
Well, this is great. Kelsey Wick, I hope we can talk to you again about this and about this story, because as it's, I mean, developing, obviously there's a lot of things I think that are going to come from this. So I hope we can have you back on this program and keep working together on this.
Absolutely,
but this is,
Bruce.
Yeah, such a great, great honor to have you on Truth Culture Life. We really appreciate your time. You're listening to a very special episode of Truth Culture Life on location in Gower, Missouri. Thank you for listening.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus After the Rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Here are some of our listeners' favorite programs on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Mother Angelica.
I enjoy listening to Al Cresta.
I listen to Women of Grace, Call of Communion, Catholic Answers.
Praying the Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
I like the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
I enjoy the program Catholic Answers Live.
I like Being Catholic with Bob and Lynn Johnston the best.
Bob, you can't do that. You're the host.
Yeah, but that's why I like it, because I always agree with Bob.
Of course.
All right. Then I like Word on Fire, The Journey Home, and EWTN Open Line.
And I like Take Two.
Help to continue the excellent programming on this station by donating online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or sending a donation to 108 Boykins Place in Normal. This radio station is supported solely by the generosity of its listeners.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Ann from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Welcome back to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood, and I am, again, joining you remotely from Gower, Missouri, which is the site of the Abbey for the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. And just a couple weeks ago, they discovered the body of their founding mother, Mother Wilhelmina, Sister Wilhelmina, as she's known here. And it was sort of an accident. I think there was some water issues, some maintenance issues, and the coffin was cracked. And so the mother abbess kind of peeked inside, and she saw a foot, and it was intact. And so they realized that they needed to fix the coffin, and they needed to do some work anyway. So they discovered, after 4 years, this little old nun that was, I think, 95 when she passed away. Her body looks just like it did the day they buried her 4 years earlier. And it has since set out in state. She's laying in state in the chapel in the grounds here. And there are pilgrims from literally around the world showing up here to venerate and to see for themselves. And it's just remarkable. I am joined now. Kelsey Wicks from EWTN was with us just a few minutes ago. And now we are joined by Father Michael Orsi from Naples. We had some technical issues earlier, but he's back with us. Father, how are you?
I'm great. It's really great to hear from Kelsey. A marvelous, marvelous interview.
Yeah, she is. She's remarkable. We met for the first time out here in Gower, and didn't know each other, but we have a lot of mutual connections. So we hit it off, and she was happy. She published an article in Catholic News about this story and was happy to join us. So great to have her and get her perspective. And when she and I were out here, Father, you didn't hear this possibly earlier, but there was like 40 people here. It was, you know, this huge, beautiful grounds. There's like 100 acres here, something that was donated to the sisters. You can just walk around. There are literally lines of people stretching from the Abbey, the church basement, all the way out to the gate. It's just phenomenal. They're expecting 10,000 people this weekend to stroll through here. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. A wonderful way to have a Memorial Day weekend, huh?
Well, that's right. Memorial Day weekend, I guess, is always crowded. And sadly, I'm going to be missing my kids. Like, my Elise, as you know, Father, you know Elise well. She's like, you just need to go. This is important. So she gave me permission. Otherwise, I would not be here.
No, that's great that you listen to your wife.
You told me. You gave me the advice. You're like, Robin, just listen to your wife. That's all you got to do.
That's what you got to do. You'll be happy. it's a real coup that you've scored getting this interview. It really is.
Well, this is the story. The interview is one thing. All right. But what we're working on, and I've mentioned it on Facebook, but I asked the sisters for permission to do a documentary on Sister Wilhelmina's life. Okay. The miracle is sprinkle on the icing. Her life is what people need to know about and what we need to share, because her life was just so remarkable. So they've given me that permission, and I'm embedded here for the next few days camping out at the Abbey.
Good for you.
Yeah. Now, all right. So listen, I want to ask Father, and Sierra, you're with us too from North Dakota, right?
Yes, I am happy to be here today. And it's just amazing listening to the show so far. Very jealous that you're down there, Royce. I mean, what an amazing opportunity.
Well, look, I think, you know, you should just come on down. I mean, you and Father should make the schlep. I know it's hard to get Father to leave beautiful South Florida, but yeah.
Well, if Sister Wilhelmina can work a miracle on my back, I'll be glad to go.
You know, there's people coming in wheelchairs hoping for that. So, yeah, maybe you could be the one. She needs at least two, I think, for canonization, right? So you could be the one, Father.
I might have to consider it.
Well, I'm already keeping track of some of the miraculous things you've done, just so that, you know, when the time comes, we can get your sanctification going early.
Well, that does have to be a drastic reduction in standards. I guarantee you that.
All right. So, Father, what is, from a theological perspective, what is incorruptibility? What does that mean?
Well, it means that the body of the person who is deceased did not succumb to the elements. And basically, it's the breakdown of the human body, which is usual for the most part, unless you're somebody like Lenin in Lenin's tomb, where they continually have to re-embalm and work on the body. What we have with incorruptible is that they're buried under normal circumstances. For the most part, I think a lot of the incorruptibles were certainly not embalmed as we have embalming today. They said that that's the case with Mother Wilhelmina. But incorruptibility in itself is not dispositive of sainthood. In other words, it's not a guarantee of sainthood. There are many saints in the church that are incorrupt, but many who their bodies have corrupted. What we believe with the incorruptibility is special grace, and that those who are reborn in baptism will not suffer the decay of the human body. So it's an indication, but it's not proof positive that the person is a saint. So in other words, this can only help. It cannot hurt the cause of Mother Wilhelmina.
Yeah, that's so well stated. And wow. Yeah, and I just want to point out to the listeners, you know, first of all, the sisters here are so generous in opening their grounds to, I mean, literally tens, maybe tens of thousands, I'm guessing. I mean, there is literally 2,000 people yesterday. They're expecting 10,000 this weekend. It's unbelievable. They're going about their life. They're doing their farming rituals. They're, you know, the things that they do for their food and sustenance. They're doing their prayers, which is just absolutely gorgeous, you know, going in and to the chapel and being able to hear them sing and all the stuff that they do is just remarkable. They live very simple lives. There's nothing fancy at all about the way Sister Wilhelmina was buried. In fact, it was very simple and it was very beautiful. It was a simple wooden coffin that somebody made. They didn't even bring in a truck or a tractor or a crane to lower the body. The sisters dug the dirt to the burial ground, and then they lowered her with ropes. Very simple, very humble end to a life that was very well lived. And so from what I know, yeah, go ahead, Father.
As far as I know, from what I've read, the body was not embalmed.
That's right. It was not embalmed. Yeah. And that's what I was getting at. They would never even think of such a thing. These are simple contemplative sisters who, I mean, look, I'm out here struggling to get a phone signal, right? I mean, like,
right.
there's nothing, I wouldn't even, right? So simple. So just absolutely. No embalmment. And my guess is if there was some, and maybe there will be some investigation, they're going to figure that out. Here's the other remarkable thing that I know is that the Sister Wilhelmina's body was placed in the chapel, which there's only about 30 seats for people to come in and observe the sisters in their prayers. They moved her body into the basement because of the large influx of people, and the sisters just literally picked up her body very respectfully and carried her. And her body, her legs kind of bent, her arms kind of bent as if it was like picking up Sierra when she's asleep on the couch.
Yeah. Well, you know what I find also very interesting is that the coffin had cracked. And as you well know, once the elements get inside of a coffin, or for any matter, anything else that it's open to, the rain and the dirt and the insects, whatever else you're going to have, it did not affect the condition of her body, nor of her habit. So this is highly unusual. Sometimes they'll say, well, the way the body or where the body was buried or entombed, that the environment did not lend itself to the corruption of the body. But none of that is present here. None of that is present here. So it certainly seems like a miraculous event, at least on the level of the body not breaking down to the elements of the earth. It's a fantastic story.
No,
it's going to go through an investigation.
It will. No, Father, yeah, the reason why they discovered it, and there's some sort of a water flood issue. Like the ground was saturated, and there was like some issue with water. It's just a freak thing in this one particular spot where Wilhelmina happened to be. And the coffin is cracked. So presumably, and I don't know for a fact, I'll verify this, but it sounds to me there's probably some moisture, right, that would have been
estimate
in there, which, right? And not only that. Okay, so maybe somehow it was airtight and the body preserved. The body's been laying in state now for probably almost 2 weeks, and it looks exactly the same as it did when they pulled out her body.
Correct. that's miraculous in itself, because once the air hits a body, like anything else that's dead, it's going to begin the decaying process. So this is unusual, even on the level of a scientific investigation. You know, what can allow a body to remain intact except divine intervention? And that's what it seems like we have here. I want to add this too. This could not have come at a better time for the church. The church is under attack. A lot of people no longer have a connection with the transcendent. And a lot of people have become despondent over some of the members of the church, the priests, the hierarchy, and have a long time been almost laughing at sisters, at nuns, religious sisters. And all of a sudden we have a woman who's dedicated her whole life to praying for priests, a religious sister who comes from a monastery that's observing all of the counsels of the church, poverty, chastity, obedience, and preaching the importance of those evangelical counsels. So I'm very excited about this. And you know something else? See, she's a Black woman. And we just talked about racism today. Well, let me just say this. God and his church have been woke a lot longer than the present woke generation.
Yeah. No,
that's a great point. And, you know, one question I had too, Royce, you know, you're there, you're seeing all the folks who are coming and wanting to experience this miracle for what it is. You know, has the response been positive? How have those conversations been? I mean, what are you seeing there?
I'm seeing an overwhelming sense of joy. Even on the sisters, I'm recording, as you know, for a production, for a documentary that will, by the way, be owned completely 100% by the sisters. I'm doing it out of a labor of love. But to answer your question, I am seeing joy. And on the sisters' faces too, like when they sing their songs, and when they're in prayer, like all of them are like smiling, and it's a smile of like, it's like a blissful smile. It's like almost like they'd be great actors if they're acting, but they're not acting. Like yeah, go ahead.
How many sisters are in the convent? Now, Mother founded the community, correct?
She founded it. Yeah, right. She was 71 years old. When she found it, she passed away when she was 95. That was 4 years ago. So Sierra is better at math than I am. I will get those exact numbers. I don't know. I'm guessing, I mean, there's a fair amount of sisters. There's maybe 40, 50, something like that. I could be wrong. I'll get that exact number and update.
Are they predominantly a Black community or mixed?
No. In fact, I don't know that I've seen a Black sister.
How about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. That doesn't mean there isn't one, but I don't know that I've seen one. I've seen some, you know, slightly different ethnic backgrounds, but possibly. But yeah, I would say predominantly Caucasian is what I've observed so far.
Yeah, that in itself is a great testimony to Mother and to the community, because they dedicated themselves to praying for the church, especially for priests. And I think that this is going to be a turning point for the church in the United States, and maybe even for religious life, which has dwindled over the years. And maybe it's time for a renaissance. Maybe there is the catalyst.
Father, a few weeks ago, you talked about how you believe that there's a spiritual awakening coming to the church and to the faithful. And maybe this is the beginning of that. I've just got to say, again, Sierra asked, you know, the response. I told you the sisters are all just, they have this like blissful, happy presence to them. Where they clearly, like, they're just consumed by love and joy for their vocation, which is just tremendous to see that. You see a lot of people, they enter into their vocation, and they're not sure. They struggle with confidence. They struggle. These women, clearly, and maybe I don't know what it was like 3 weeks ago, but certainly with, imagine if you join an order and you devote your life, and then all of a sudden you discover your foundress is, incorruptible. The people coming, though, also are displaying this joy. And as they're walking in the line where I'm positioned outside, I can see them walking in one door. And then I get to see them as they come out another door. And it's interesting. On the way in, they're sort of, you know, they've read about it. They've seen the news. They're quiet. People are respectful. And then on the way out, it's like this sense of awe. that you can see on people's faces, Sierra? So that was a great question.
Yeah, okay. Just ask you, are you filming this as we're speaking? Could we have some pictures and a video of the sisters and mother?
Yeah, unfortunately, our tech is not working out here in the middle of nowhere. I brought hotspots. I brought all sorts of gear. Nothing is working. They used to call this, before it was known as Gower, Missouri, the resident priest last night told me this was actually known as Starfield for no other reason than when you look at the sky, it looks like a field of stars at night. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. The closest town is St. Joseph, Missouri, which is about 20 minutes away. Kansas City is, I don't know, an hour and a half or something. So unfortunately, I am filming. I've got four or five cameras working. It's interesting. On the way over, the sister said, yes, Royce, we give you permission to do a documentary, which, by the way, is just such a huge honor. And they're turning down other camera crews. I was praying on the way here because my guy that does drone work, you know, putting a drone up in the sky just so we could see the crowd, he's like, I'm sorry, I'm booked up. I can't do it. So I said, you know, Holy Spirit action plan, we need a drone. And I get here, and the president of Benedictine College is here. And I introduce myself, and one of the sisters introduced us, and he's like, yeah, we have a drone if you need it. It's like, boom. So, so it's like providential. Anyway, Father, we will put some pictures up on Facebook. I'm getting tons of great footage, and people are going to have to wait, though, on some of the footage, because I promised the sisters before I put out any of the video that they're going to get what's called final cut. I want them to feel like they're a part of that production.
How do you think you could turn this over, this documentary?
I can turn this documentary over hopefully within the next 30 days. So just to let people know, one of the things we're going to do with this is I'm going to go to the town where sister was born. I'm going to try to find the school and the parish, if it's still there, that she went. And we know where it is from her book. She said, I grew up one block away from the church, and then one block away in the other direction was the school. And as a young black girl, they would sit in a certain pew at the church. It was a predominantly German church. Such a fascinating story. And back mm-hmm. then, segregation, they received communion last. And her mom said to her, what difference does it make? You're receiving the body of Christ, whether you receive it first or last. And that was her attitude. Like she was joyful that she got to receive it last.
You know, we talked about, I said, I think there's going to be a renaissance in the church and religious life. But let me just add this to it. It's going to take a great deal of courage on the part of Catholics and suffering on the part of Catholics to make this happen. Nothing comes easy. You've heard about the Dodgers putting on a display of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, mocking the sisters, mocking the church, mocking the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Well, that's persecution, and that's religious bias against Catholics. And maybe this is just what we need to show the world, really, you know, what Catholicism really is, and what great things one person can do to turn everything around and give the rest of us the courage we need to say, no, we are going to stand for the truth. And we're going to suffer no matter what it takes. But that's what made the church great. The church became great because of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs nurturing the life of the church. So I think that Mother is going to be a great impetus to religious renewal in this country.
And like you said, I mean, the fact that she breaks those racial barriers,
she
was not at all concerned about racial issues. She, from what I understand, she what she was concerned about was the body and blood of Jesus Christ, was her Lord.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. Listen, guys, as Sarah, we didn't get to hear from you much. I am completely out of time. I've got to go in there and film a Latin Mass. And Father just gave me a thumbs up saying he's going in.
No, absolutely no worries. I mean, like you guys are talking about, this is such an amazing opportunity. We bend and flow, and we're so happy that, you know, you're down there, Royce, and you can talk about this more.
So
this has been great.
Well, this
I can't wait to see the
doc. Oh, Father, and you're gonna be on it. Both of you. I'll get both of you on it. Okay, we'll do some interviews with you too to get your feedback on camera. So listen, you're listening to Truth Culture Life, and that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back with you with more of this story very, very soon. Due to Vespers and Latin Mass and just the very, very busy schedule out here in Gower, Missouri, I had to cut our interview and our radio program just slightly short this weekend. Also, I forgot my phone, my charger for my computer. So I'm doing this with one bar and zero internet reception. So hopefully we get this to the station in time. If you're listening, that means we did. Thanks so much for listening to Truth Culture Life on Catholic Spirit Radio. God bless you.
Catholic Spirit Radio is hosting another outdoor rosary event, and you're invited. On Wednesday, May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation, we will gather in the north parking lot of 108 Boykins Place in Normal. Popcorn and treats, tours of the station, and fellowship begin at 7 p.m. The Joyful Mysteries at 7:30, plus after the rosary, an hour movie called Oceans of Mercy. Bring your family, friends, and lawn chairs on May 31st for an enjoyable evening of the rosary, a movie, treats, and a special drawing. Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Here are some of our listeners' favorite programs on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Mother Angelica.
I enjoy listening to Al Cresta.
I listen to Women of Grace, Call of Communion, Catholic Answers.
Praying the Rosary, and the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
I like the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
I enjoy the program Catholic Answers Live.
I like Being Catholic with Bob and Lynn Johnston the best.
Bob, you can't do that. You're the host.
Yeah, but that's why I like it, because I always agree with Bob.
Of course.
All right. Then I like Word on Fire, The Journey Home, and EWTN Open Line.
And I like Take Two.
Help to continue the excellent programming on this station by donating online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com or sending a donation to 108 Boykins Place in Normal. This radio station is supported solely by the generosity of its listeners.
Got an old vehicle taking up space in your garage or rusting outside? Catholic Spirit Radio would love to have it. Turn your worn-out vehicle into a donation. Simply call 866-628-CARS or go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com to click on the Donate Your Vehicle link.
Hi, this is Kathy and Ann from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal.